Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring pastors anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through pastors' teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
We're being told by Paul, he says, that to be a soldier in Christ, you're going to have to endure some trials. As the world goes darker and darker and darker, I guarantee you it's going to be less and less popular to use the word of Jesus or to preach the gospel. There are already laws on the books in Canada and in France and several other countries that make it illegal to preach the gospel. There are laws, you know, we're all talking, and now, don't get me wrong, I don't hate Muslims. I don't have anything against Muslims. I know Muslims for what Muslims are. But do you realize that in most Muslim countries, there are laws on the books that say if I go up and convert someone to Jesus Christ, they can put me to death? That's the truth, people. We don't have a law in this country that says a Muslim can't convert somebody. But in most Muslim countries, it is illegal for me to go there and preach the gospel and convert someone to Jesus. In China, it's only legal to own a state-owned Bible. If you own a King James or a Standard Bible that the state did not publish, it's illegal. Because in the state-owned Bible is propaganda put all through it. So you can have that. It's illegal to have a church that's not state-authorized and sanctioned. See, we don't truly understand where we sit as Christians. I get emails every day from pastors that are just praying for someone to help them. We hear from pastors every day whose relatives have been beheaded for preaching the gospel or have just suddenly disappeared and they found parts of them months later. This is the world we live in, and it's coming to this country because we are not the soldiers of Christ we need to be. We don't need to go out there and beat everybody over the head with the Bible. We need to have faith in the Lord to do that for us. Let's look in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I believe, starting in verse 12. Nope, 23. Start in verse 23. Get my reading glasses on. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 23. Now that would help. 1 Samuel 17.
I wasn't 17.
Yes, you were. 17:23. I was like, this makes no sense. Okay, I'm shortening this up, but we're going to talk about David. What was the one thing that impressed you about David? Courage. Anybody else? Worshipper. You know the one thing that encouraged me about David? He was human. I mean, this guy broke all 10 of the 10 commandments with Bathsheba. But the one thing that impressed me about David is God's words. God said to David, no, not David, but he said, he is a man after my own heart. See, that's the one thing. I just hope, I just pray that when I get standing on Judgment Day, there's going to be an open set of arms and saying, welcome, good and faithful servant. You know, that will be all the reward in the world. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get good enough to be a man after God's own heart. I'd like to be. But I'm not sure I could make that one. But just, you know, welcome home, good and faithful servant. I'll take that. Okay, verse 23. Why did I take these off? And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, and David heard him. Now, at this point, you have to understand that Goliath, you know, it's kind of like if you came up here and stood next to me, you just have to, that's how David was. David was about your size, and Goliath was about mine compared. Okay? Now, we have to remember at this point that Goliath has stood on this hill for 40 days and 40 nights and taunted the Israelites. Now, this is King Saul and his best army. His best army. And what has happened? They're all shivering in their boots because this one tall dude. Now, I granted, you know, if you were about that tall and I was this tall, you might be a little... But it's a whole army against one guy. And he's come up and taunted him, and he just did it again at this point. And so here we are. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Oh, man, would you like that army behind you? That's kind of like, okay, well, the volunteers step forward and everybody runs backwards and you're standing there. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is coming here? Surely to defy Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who kill him, the king will make rich and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Well, you know, little David's standing there. And David's thinking, wait a minute. Did they just say he's going to be rich? He's going to have a wife? He's going to have a free house? I mean, that's pretty good stuff. You got to remember, David just showed up from tending sheep to bring his family some food. Now, David's living out with the sheep. You think he's, you know, you think he went home and showered, you know, put on aftershave? No, he smells like sheep. He's been living with the sheep. So here's this little short, not really good-looking guy that's got a heart of God in him. And he's thinking, rich, daughter, Israel, big dude. Be kind of an interesting thing. So what does he say? And David spoke to the men and stood by them. What shall be done to the man who killed the Philistine and take away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should now catch this, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done to him that killeth him. And Elab, the eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Elab's anger was kindled against David and said, why comest you down here anyway, with whom thou hast a few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your haughtiness of thy heart, and you've come down here that you might see the battle. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, here's David. Ask a simple question. Who's this Philistine to deny the whole army of God? What do? They jump down his throat. You egotistical, conceited little twerp. Who are you to say that? I had only one sister, so I didn't have to have the wrath of brothers. But my wrath on my sister was fun enough. We were interesting siblings. So David says, what have I done now? There is not a cause. And he turned from him to another and spoke in the same manner, and the people answered him again in the former manner. And when the words were heard of David, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David's heart said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight the Palestine. Now, here's where you get an idea of how meek and mild David was. David said to him, let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and fight the Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine and fight with him because you're but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, keep thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as them, seeing as he has defiled the armies of the living God. What's got David riled? David isn't riled because his brothers picked on him. He's not riled because Saul said, who are you to go against this guy? He's riled because this Philistine did what? Defiled the armies of God. You and I are the army of God. Do you realize that? Do you get a righteous anger when you hear someone in a restaurant or a store say, GD this, GD that, like it's a second language? Do you get a righteous anger? Because if you don't, you're not like David. My wife becomes a tiger. I have to hold her down. Me? I'm the nice guy. I just look at him most of the time and say, do you really want God to do that to you? Think about it. What would you do if every time you use those words, he did it? But see, if you and I don't have a righteous anger when we see evil, if you and I don't have a righteous anger when we hear on the TV about somebody that either wears the name of Christian doing evil things, like ordaining gays into the church, if we don't have a righteous anger, we don't have that army of God attitude. See, we go on and read what happened with David. I will read it. I was going to explain it, but we'll read it. Where are we? David said, moreover, I got that one. Saul armed David with his armor. This is verse 38. And put a helmet of brass on his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can't go with these. Basically, if you go to the Greek here, it says in the King James has not proved it. Well, what the Greek tells you, if you read the way the Hebrew here tells you the way the story goes, is that basically David couldn't wear this stuff. It was too big and heavy for him. Picture me with a set of armor, and then I turn around and put it on him. He's going to kind of go down to the floor. That's what happened there. David's like, I can't go out like this. You trying to kill me? So how does David go out? And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones and put them in a shepherd's bag. He even with a scrimp and a sling in his hand, and he drew to the Philistines. And the Philistine came and drew near David. And the man had a big shield that went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and fair in countenance. Now this is nasty. The Philistine says to David, what am I, a dog? In other words, now the Philistine, who's been cursing and cussing at God's armies for 40 days and 40 nights, is standing here insulted that David came out to him. Am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Now you have to really keep close here. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield. But I come to you, what? in the name of the Lord, hosts of God of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And this day the Lord deliver into my hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the hosts of the Philistines under the fowls this day and the wild beasts. And what does he say? That everyone will know there's a God in Israel. See, David knew who to fear. Jesus said, don't fear man who can kill your body. Fear man, no. Fear who?
God.
Fear God who can what? Kill the body and cast your soul into hell. There is a hell, people. It ain't a playground. It ain't a fun place. You ain't going to party in it. There is a hell. And it's for those who don't follow Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things I always loved old John Hagee for saying was, I don't really care whether you believe in hell. God does, and you're going if you don't believe in Jesus. David knocked down and killed a giant with one stone. One little stone. Jesus told his disciples that if he needed to, he could call down a legion of angels. Actually, the words in the Bible say 12 legions of angels. Now, one word. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. He could have called down 12,000 angels. Jesus also said to you and I, because I go to the Father, you will do these things, and you will do greater things than these. Now, one of the worst doctrinal errors I've ever seen any religion and church do in the history of mankind is to take that statement and say, because we're a group now, we're doing greater things than Jesus, because we're reaching around the world. That's not what Jesus meant, people. He meant that individually, if you and I have a relationship with Him the way we should, we can do greater things. I've seen it. Cool. We need them. I've seen it. I haven't seen legs grow back, but I've read of them. But I've laid hands on people and had them healed. I've laid hands on people and had demons come out. And no, it's not me, people. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am nothing. No one. David was nothing. He was no one. He was as human as you can be. My goodness, the guy had 1,500 wives and then had to have an affair with somebody else's wife. He had to kill the guy because he wanted her. He lied. He stole. I mean, he broke all 10 commandments. But you know, David had it right. When Naaman came to him and said to him and gave him the story of the one poor shepherd that had the single sheep, and how the rich shepherd that had all the sheep he could ever have stole that one and gave it to his guests. David said that man should die. He should be punished. That's all God's sense of humor. He doesn't come right to you and nail you between the eyes. He makes you nail yourself. But what happened? It's key. It's key to being a soldier for Christ. What happened here? He fell on his face, but what did he say? He didn't say, oh, I've sinned against Bathsheba. Oh, I've sinned against the people. He fell on his face and he said, I have sinned against God and God only. See, that's what matters, people. Yes, we're told if we have something against our brother and we come to the altar, go fix it. But that's what matters. You want to be a powerful force for the Lord? It'll have nothing to do with you. It'll have to do with the relationship you have. You want your children to grow up in the Lord? It'll have nothing to do with you. It'll have with your relationship with the Lord. You want to have a good life? You'll have trials. But I guarantee, if you have a one-on-one relationship with the Lord and you're smack dab in the center of His will, you'll have a life, a good life, a fruitful life. What are we told? You shall know them by their fruits. I want to leave you with this one scripture in Mark. And I believe it's very important, but most people ignore it. It's Mark chapter 6, verses 7, I think. Yep, 6, 7 through 13. Mark chapter 6, 7 through 13. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Okay, I'm in Mark 6, 7 through 13, and that's not the one I want. Help me here, dear. Maybe it's Matthew 6, 7 through 13. I hate it when I write things down wrong. I was one of those people that missed the... Well, at this point, I cannot remember... I missed our time change this morning, so I woke up at 3 o'clock. Nope, it's not Matthew. Oh, well. The verse goes like this.
Bible trivia.
First one to find it. Jesus has just gone from town to town healing everyone, raising, healing, preaching. And everybody's all excited about this. And Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, I tell you this, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will provide workers. Pray to the Lord. When was the last time you prayed to God for the workers? Think about it. Jesus' own words. It's that important. Jesus says, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. When was the last time we prayed? I do. Now that he's shown me how important it is. But even the workers, as I tell people, even if you can't get out there and preach the gospel, get on your face and pray for a worker. You see an ambulance going up to the clinic, and you can't walk in there because you're not a minister, pray for God to send a worker. You see an accident on the road, pray for God to send a worker. You see somebody that needs Jesus, but you don't know how to reach them, pray for God to send a worker. It works. Let me give you these statistics. This is what I'm going to end you with. Mesomelia. In the United States, 24 million people die each year. Now, do you realize that means approximately 6,500 people die every day in America? Worldwide, 156,000 people die a day. That means that each day, 6,500 people die. That means that each minute worldwide, 108 people die. Each minute, 108 people die. Now, there's 6.5 billion people in this world. Did you know there's only 2.1 Christians? 2.1 billion Christians? That's the total spectrum of everybody that says, I'm a Christian. That's 38%. Do the numbers, people. The numbers work out to 96,700 people a day go to hell. Each hour, 4,030 people go to hell. Every single minute of the day, 67 people go to hell. Now, if that doesn't get you on fire for getting out there and speaking to somebody, 67 people a minute wake up the moment after in hell. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't preached to. That doesn't mean we missed them. It could be a case of they just didn't listen. They wouldn't accept. I don't have a statistic to tell you how many of that 67 never heard. But you know, there are no such things as chance meetings. You don't meet a stranger by chance. You're a Christian. And if you're in the will of God, you meet a stranger with a specific purpose. We are told by the Spirit of God that it is His job to be the convictor. It's our job to be the sower of that seed. Whether we sow it on rocky ground, whether we sow it on good ground, whatever, we've got to be workers. We've got to be soldiers for Jesus. 67 people a minute enter into hell for one reason or another. It's kind of scary to me. Because I know how much of my life I wasted before I came to the Lord. And I've probably wasted a large amount of it since. Lord Jesus, we love You and praise You and we thank You for this day. We uplift Your name. We ask You this day, Lord, to go with these people and let them focus on the words You've given. Let them focus on the need of this world for You, Jesus. You left this world with only one way for us to spread this gospel, and that's by our mouths. We can't use the great television. We can't use anything else but ourselves. We have no excuse, Lord, if we don't tell that stranger. Lord, I just ask a special blessing on us this week, and that You bring someone into the fold to be told about Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to You right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with Your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow You. Thank You, Father, for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank You that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at Your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank You, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.